You take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Comes right after the book of Zephaniah and just before the book of Zechariah. Okay? Got that? Okay. If you have a Bible that's like mine, you can go to page number 813 and it's right there. Amen. Okay. Sometimes when we go to the Old Testament, we wonder, you know, where are these books at? There's a thing in your Bible called the index. If you don't know, you can go down and find out what page it's on. Okay? This book of the Bible is the second shortest of the writers of the Old Testament. Okay? Haggai was a prophet. Haggai was a man that God called to let the people know that you're not living your life accordingly. And as Haggai came, he gave them this message. And I want you to listen very carefully to chapter 1, verses 2 through 9 this morning. As I talk about first things first. First things first. What are you putting in your life that comes before the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you substituting Christ for? You see, not too many of us in here have a day that doesn't go by that we have things that come up in our life. And we have to readjust the day. Every one of you in here, I imagine, has plans for tomorrow, don't you? Pretty much. You know what your day is going to bring. You know what you're going to do. You've got it all laid out. You get up in the morning, and all of a sudden, you get a phone call, and things change drastically in your life. And the first thing you do, you start to sulk over what you're not going to get done. When I think about the Lord today, we have this tendency to say, okay, I'm to spend this much time with Jesus each day, but I'll wait and I'll do it later. Have you ever noticed when you put something off, most of the time you never get back to it? That's sad, isn't it? And we're very good at doing that in God's house and in the relationship we build with Christ. You see, Haggai himself in this book, he talks about that. And writing to the people, he is still talking to us also today. See, he was sent to help God's people to realize where they were at. Here they were living in their beautiful home. Everything was complete. The grass was cut. The flowers were blooming. Everything looked great. Here's God's temple, not too far away. It was in ruins. It had grown up. And nobody was looking at it anymore. They'd become very complacent and living in their own homes and doing their own thing. They were out tilling the fields, raising their sheep. Stores had opened up again. Commerce was booming. Everything was great. But the only problem was God was not in the center of what they were doing. And you're going to find out this morning that in this text that you make him put yourself in the middle of it too. Because as it reads today, starting in verse 2, as we stand together in reverence to the reading of God's Word, it says this, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet said this, listen, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, he said, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, it says, but ye have not what? You're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, he said, but there is what? None warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into the bag, he said, that is full of holes. Maybe some of y'all are like that today. Goes in one hand and out the other. And then he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, he said, consider your ways. And then he said this, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it, it says, home. I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Two times he says this in verse 5 and 7, consider your ways. In other words, first things first. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask a blessing upon this message this morning. that we will take to heart where we live today and look at what we're doing and what are we putting first in our lives. There are many things that we can say that we need to do, but Father, what's the most important thing is that you're first and foremost in our lives today. I ask your blessing upon our church here at Fairport. Continue to draw your people unto you. And may your presence always be felt when we come together. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated this morning. Did everybody find Haggai? Did you find out where it was at? Okay. How many use the index? Okay, very good. Be honest. Okay. I love it. That's good. I want you to think about something this morning, just for a minute, okay? I want you to think about these words, who am I? Who am I? Put that in your vocabulary this morning, who am I? Why am I here? What does God have for me to do? What will my day be like tomorrow? What will next week be like? What will next month be like? But I want you to first of all say, who am I? Well, if you're here this morning, and you love the Lord of heart, mind, and soul, you are called a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You are called a Christian. Okay? That's number one. The fact is, even though you call yourself a Christian, we still have a tendency to lack our attention to God's details that He gives to us because of our own mindset. I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way. It seems like when we do it our way, it seems like things go along good for a while, and then all of a sudden what happens? We fall into a cesspool, and there we are up to our neck in it. And we wonder what happened. When you take your eyes off of God and trouble comes your way, remember one thing. It's there for you to open up your eyes to see where you are and what direction that you need to take in life to make changes. God gets our attention because He wants us to realize one thing. He says, I'm in charge and you're not. Even the people in this text of Haggai, they had the opportunity when they came back, we know, to the nation, to Jerusalem, and he started to build. You remember Zerubbabel and all the rest that came, you know. Nehemiah came and rebuilt the walls. They had a sword in one hand, you know, and a working tool in the other because the people around them trying to come in and destroy them. And then we know Ezra came and preached, and, you know, and Zerubbabel, and then Haggai comes on the scene, and they were still doing the same thing. They were only concerned about doing their thing, building their homes, getting warm and staying warm. But the problem was this. They were going the opposite way. And they went the opposite way in not having the products that they needed and the production they needed because they took their eyes off of God. We're living in a nation today that is not a God-fearing nation like it should be. We're living in a nation today that is being suppressed by everything around us as a Christian. And if we don't stand up as the Bible teaches us and consider the ways that we're living, we'll continue to be what? Caught up in the cesspool of the world today. Our churches need to become more stronger. More inapt to serve God like we should and be the individuals that we need to be. And we need to take the advice God gives us. And He said this, first of all, in this text. He said, you need to stop. Number one, write it down. You need to stop making excuses in the life that you live. We can make excuses. Why I can't do something. And you know, it sounds good, doesn't it? Excuses always sound good because we try to justify the excuses that we make today. Great preacher, Billy Sunday. Maybe some of you have heard of him, maybe some of you have not. But he made this statement about excuses. I want you to listen very carefully. He said this. He defined an excuse as the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The skin of a reason that's stuffed with a lie. Because really that's what you're doing. You're lying to yourself. Even Benjamin Franklin made this observation when he said, I never knew a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else. So see, what does excuses mean? It means that you're trying to lie your way out of a situation that you don't want to be in. And we can fall into that tendency very easy. And it's not right because God tells us in His Word that we are to remember that we are here to execute His Word in our lives today. Here is a nation that God gave the greatest opportunity to come back once again. The remnant came in. They rebuilt. They were doing things. He said that you are there and you're living your lives. And He said this to them very plainly. The time, and this is what the people said, as He came back and told them it's time to make changes. The time has not come. The time that the Lord's house, He said, should be built. In other words, they said, you know, we got other things to do. This isn't very important to us. You know, God's house where we worship is more important than the house you live in. Do what? Some of y'all just don't believe that, do you? If I didn't have a roof over my head, what would I do? Maybe you'd be living in a tent. I don't know. But your property, your homes, and everything you have is not as important as what God gives you here in this church. He gives you a purpose. Our purpose is to worship. Our purpose is to come together and to share the gospel message. Oh, but it's not time to build God's church. It's not time to do this, this, and this. I want you to think back for a minute. When it comes to building God's church, whether it's putting a new roof in here, building onto the building or whatever else, we are to give our best in everything we do. And we are to give our best not just in the building, but in building our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're to give our best. He says, you're living in your sealed houses. You're living in your covered roof buildings. He said the grass is nice and pretty. He said the flowers are blooming and they look good. But then he said, look down the street. He said, what's down there? And he said this. He said, God's dwelling place, look at it. It's in desolation. It's been destroyed. Nobody's concerned about building that. You're only concerned about being in your own safe zone, as we say. Where's the safe zone at? Nowhere. The only safe zone in this world is the zone that you're spending with Jesus Christ and putting Him first in your life. That's the zone that we need to be in. That's the life that we need to be building today. He said, quit making all of those excuses that you've got and to turn yourself back to me. Well, as you look at the text, he said this. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai by the prophet saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house be laid in waste. Has the Lord ever told you it's time for you to do something? Then you go back to the excuse making again. Lord, I can't because. You know, that's a big word, isn't it? Because. Because what? Because what? I said this many years ago. There was a professor one time that gave a test. And when he gave the test, he gave them one word. And the one word was why. And the answer to the question was because. I thought that was good. Why? Because. But what came after that? Why don't we do things for the Lord? Because I don't have time. I'm not interested. I'm too caught up in other things in the world. And this is exactly the nation that we're talking about here is Israel, who was caught up in everything around them except for being caught up in the Lord and the Lord's work. Same thing today, isn't it? Where do we abide today? We're to abide in the house of God. We're to live in God's relationship. So the first thing he says, quit giving excuses. Well, the second thing that he brings to mind is this. He said, cease being what? Selfish. Now, I know none of y'all are selfish, amen? Give your shirt off your back to help somebody, won't you? Huh? Some will, some won't. Why are we in that state of mind today? I have what I have. I've worked for what I've got. Why in the world should I give it away? We have that attitude. And our attitude should be an attitude of love, concern, and compassion for those that are less fortunate than we are. Now, I think sometimes we forget that. Have you ever thought about when you were growing up and where you came from? Did you have everything in life that you wanted? No, most people didn't. If you were lucky enough to have a silver spoon in your mouth, maybe a gold one, I don't know, that's good. But most of us didn't, did we? Most of us were raised in a time where you had to work, you had to do. You worked on farms, you did this, you milked cows, you had your own crops, you did everything you know. Your father taught you, trained you. Mother taught the ladies in the house, right, to do what? To learn how to be a good wife, to cook, to sew, to clean, and all this kind of stuff. And nowadays, what do? Just send it to the laundry, it'll be okay. Right? You see what we do in life? I think we forget sometimes where we used to be to where we are now and how God has blessed us from then to now. And sometimes we forget that we're to do the same thing and help other people. You know, back many years ago when I was growing up, I remember how people used to reach out and help each other. If people needed a house worked on, everybody got together to help. You know, it was almost like the Amish, you know, in the Mennonites. When they get together, they can raise a barn in a day and close it in. You know, we can go ahead and build a stick house, right? We can't get it finished that day because we got an excuse why we can't do it. Isn't it sad? We got to quit being the selfish individuals and being people that are willing to give of our time, talents, and everything we have to help somebody else. He says in this verse here, he says, look, he said, here you are. You're covered, you're roofed, you're everything else. You get into your house, you stay there, and that's as far as you go. But you know, Haggai was very direct in what God told him. He told him very plainly, he says, look, he said, you need to get out of that house, and you need to complete what God's house needs to be looking like. See, that completion is one thing, and it comes back to this. The question is this. What's in your house? What's in this house right here? What's in this temple right here where the Spirit lives? Where's your heart today as you look within yourself? Are you selfish? Are you caring? Are you giving? I know a lot of you in here right now, you give, you'll give you back. Have your shirt right off your back to help people, praise the Lord. But then there's some of us that like to hang on to what we got because we worked so hard for it. Let me tell you what. You only have what you have because God has provided it for you. Hear that? You only have what you have because God has provided it for you, and He's willing to do what? To work through you to help somebody else. Because as Christians, we are to have a loving compassion for others. To reach out from our church to tell people about what Christ is doing in your life as you go along life's path. Look what he said in verse 5. Now therefore, he said, thus consider what? Oh my goodness, consider my ways. Woo-hoo! That's a good one, isn't it? You ever considered your ways in life? Well, think about it for just a minute this way. It says this, if you consider your ways, he said, and you don't do what God wants you to do, guess what? Third thing is you're missing God's blessings in life. Guys, missing God's blessings? Sure you do. Have you thought about what the text said when I read it to you this morning? You're living in your own sealed houses. You're planting your crops. Oh, everything's great, you know. Garden's growing. Got taters and maters, that's what they say, right? That's what we got. And we're living and growing. We got the cattle, we got the sheep, we got the goats, we got all the chickens and stuff. Everything's growing, looking good. And then all of a sudden, he made a statement. And the statement that he made should come home to all of us to roost when he said this. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Hear that? You've sown much, but you bring in little. Why is that? Ye drink, he said. What? You eat, and you have not enough. You drink, and he says you're not filled. You clothe, he said, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into what? A what kind of bag? Bag with holes. You know what that means? It goes in one hand, out the other, and it's gone. Now, let's really look at the verse for just a minute. Oh, yes, we're planting big crops. I like these farmers around here. They got tractors bigger than the fields. Amen. You know? Combines come down the highway. You get in the ditch and get out the way because they're bigger than you are. You know, we got all of this stuff going on for us. And guess what? It only takes one little drought to ruin the crop production. One. It takes one little windstorm to lay it all on the ground. It takes one little rainstorm with hail to destroy it. And you end up with nothing. What does God say here? Yes, you're out there. You're tilling the ground. You're working hard. You're being productive. But all in the end, what happened? He said, you have little because you are not living your life according to the life that I give to you. My friends, if you're suffering today and you don't think your life is moving in the right direction, things aren't prospering for you, go back to this self one more time. It's right here is where it starts. But you have to make things right with Jesus first. And unless you make things right with Jesus first, you're not going to go too far. Because Christ needs to be centered in your life. They had slipped to the wayside. Christ, the Lord Himself, was not even put into the center when they went back to rebuild the temple. They decided, well, let us build our houses. We'll live first, and then we'll go back and build the temple. And they didn't do it. So now they're suffering because the crops are not producing. not enough food to eat. The clothes they have don't keep them warm. They were going through a whole scenario, and then the Lord came back in verse 7 and said the same thing He said in verse 5. What is it? Consider your ways. He said, you're like this because of you. You're not like this because of any other reason. And God has done something. What did God do? God says, yeah. He said, until you get your life turned around and live it like it should be, He said, I will put those burdens on you time after time after time. And He does it for one reason. Where you have to stop and look up and listen to what God has for us to do and consider the ways that you live. Now, Haggai was very direct. How would you like to have been that prophet, have to go down and tell all them people, you're not living right, and God said this. But what does God say to us this morning in all this? Consider your ways. Put first things first in your life. And Christ should always be first in your life. Nothing else should come before that. But we can change it, can't we? Because we like to change the scenario in our lives and say, well, this should be my number one top priority for me. No, Christ should always be the number one priority for you. See, without Christ, what is life? It's empty. It's not full, it's boring. And it goes on. But if you fill your life with the Spirit of God and you start to live for God like you should, I'll tell you what, He'll give you that uplift. He'll give you that victory we talked about in singing Victory in Jesus. He'll show you one day all these different things He wants you to do, what He has for you, the blessings of life, all that comes before us. And He's willing to do it. He's willing to bless us. The problem is we don't look and we don't listen and we don't think about the blessings God gives to us. It was a blessing for me to wake up this morning. Amen. You know? I could have been laying in that bed this morning, they could have reached over and shook me, and I could have just laid there, dead as a doornail. You know? I had no idea I was going to wake up this morning. God does know. He knows, doesn't He? See, you can't take each day and say to yourself, well, this day I'm going to do this, because each day we have is a day that's gone. Tomorrow's a new day for you and me. I can't stress to you enough to look at yourself today to see what direction do you want to take in life. You know, we can study, we can prepare, we can take God's Word, you know, we can chew it up, dissect it, as I said in Sunday school this morning, and still walk out of this church and know absolutely nothing. Because we don't take it any further than the pew we're sitting in, or the Sunday school room we're sitting in, or the Bible studies that we're sitting in. What is it so hard for us to come and to sit in church to learn more about Jesus Christ? How hard is it to sit in a Bible study or a Sunday school class? Well, it takes time. I've got to get up a little bit early. Let me ask you this question. Do you get up late to go to work? Are you on time? Are you Johnny on the spot? Now, some of you retirees here, okay? It don't make no difference. I get up at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever it may be. You know, if you're doing that all week long, well, you can take Sunday and get up just a little bit earlier, can't you? Well, see, Sunday doesn't start till 10 o'clock in the morning. But we're crying at 9 o'clock, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. You know Alice in Wonderland, you know the rabbit? I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. You remember that? That's us. Man, we can get up, boy, and next thing you know, we're late for church. You know, it's quarter after 10. What happened? 10:30, what happened? You know, then you roll in here about 5 minutes to 11 or 5 after. What happened? What happened? Did you forget? Didn't allot enough time? This is what these people were doing. They were putting everything else before God except putting God last. And all of a sudden, here they are, the prophet saying, hey, wake up. Hey, look at where you are. Look at God's house and what it's doing. It's not growing and not glowing and you're not concerned about it. He said, hey, where are you at right now? He said, look at you. He said, you need to be about God's business. You need to be about building God's temple. And you, every one of you in here this morning, nobody's exempt, not even me, from growing this temple every single day. I should be adding to the temple. I should be putting another building block on it. I should be stacking that thing the way God wants me to stack it. And I'm to continue that till the day that I die. I never stop building this temple that God has given to me where the Spirit indwells me. And every one of us in here, none of us are exempt from building that relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't sit there and say, well, preacher, I don't have time. Go tell God you don't have time. Because when you tell me, okay, you're telling the wrong person. We need to talk to the Lord more. We need to share the gospel more. Missing those blessings of life. What happens when our hearts get hardened, my friends? What happens to our life when you're not awake this morning and looking to God for deliverance in the lives that we live? It hurts my heart to think about how many people pass through a church every Sunday and still don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of you are sitting right here this morning thinking you're okay when you're not okay. Because Christ needs to be number one. What else did He say in here? Well, let me give it to you this way. He said, you missed the blessings of life, and you want to know why? The fourth thing is this. You need to take time to evaluate. Oh, no. Maybe I got to evaluate myself. Sure you do. Who knows you better than you? God does. When you go to a doctor and get an examination, okay, he goes in, he comes, the first thing they do, the nurse comes in and takes out that syringe, ties your arm off, sticks that needle in there, draws that little thing of blood. Well, that's great. And then every time I go to the doctor, he only draws one. I go to the VA, they draw 25. I don't know what it is. And they give you all the different things they send you in the mail, right? And they'll send you a list of what the blood work is all about. You know, cholesterol out of sight. HDL's not right. You know, it goes on and on and on. And you're sitting there reading this thing. It gets to the bottom. I got one last time. And it said to me, my cholesterol had been up a little bit, you know, and it says, and this was a comment they made. It says, your cholesterol's up this time, you must not be taking the pill. I said, no, I was eating a lot of fried food, that's what it was. But what does that do for me? It shows me, through all of the tests they do, where my body is. It tells me if I'm healthy. It tells me the things I've got to change. It does all of this for me, doesn't it? And I'm to do what? I am to make adjustments in my life for my physical well-being so I can do what? Live longer. Amen. That's why we do it. You're not going to live any longer than God gives you. Okay, how healthy are you? You can drop dead today. But this is what we do. We go and we listen. Oh, the doctor said. Okay, fine and dandy. What happens when the Word of God tells us, evaluate yourself today, and when God shows you things that need to be changed in your life, how many times do we just put it on the back burner and say, I'll get to it later? I'll guarantee if the doctor told you you were sick with a bad disease or something, I guarantee you, you'll go to every specialist you can find to make sure you get the right treatment. Amen? What do you do at the temple? How do you evaluate the temple? When God shows you where you are, my friends, you are to make what? Make changes for the betterment of yourself and to spread the gospel message that God gives to you through His Word. He says, look at the text. Look what He said. Go to the mountain, verse 8. Bring the wood, build the house, and I will what? Make pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. Who said it? The Lord said it. Glorified. When you're in this church, you're to glorify God. When you're out of this church, you're to glorify God. No matter where you go, you're to glorify God. It is a daily building experience that He gives to you and He gives to me. It's a constant. It never stops. It's always to build the foundation. I like what Socrates said. He wrote this. He said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Socrates said that many years ago. An unexamined life is not worth living. If you're not examining yourself and checking out where you are today, my friends, what use is it to live on? We need to change, don't we? We need change in our life, but we need change through the Word of God in Christ. He said, who removed him? Who took him out of his rightful place? Who put him on the back burner? The nation of Israel did that. And the world is doing the same thing today. Our nation is doing the same thing today. And our churches need to get off the duff and do the right thing and live for the Lord. That's what we need to do. But we don't want to do that. I like my comfort zone. We've got to get out of the comfort zone. We've got to look at this right here. When you look in the mirror in the morning, what do you see? You see the same person you saw 25 years ago, or do you see something different? Huh? I look the same, but don't make me difference. When I was 18, I looked like this. Okay. May I tell you? Yeah. You're changing day after day in your physical appearance. But my friends, you need to be changing day by day in the spiritual life that you're supposed to be living. See, you've got to change. It's great. You see those little grandkids y'all got now running around? You know, I love them. They're great. Everybody see Jimmy and Betty the other day, and she was laying up asleep, you know. That was some good sleep. You can see that pretty little face, right? But I remember when she was born, too. She was just looking. Look at her now. How fast do they grow there? Huh? Plenty, don't they? Into everything. And they're getting older every day. And as long as they're growing and moving ahead, you're to do what? You're to help them grow and to function in life to the right things and get away from the wrong things. That's your responsibility as a parent. It's your responsibility as a grandparent. And it's responsibility as church people to teach and train them also. See, we have responsibility to help other families too in our church to be right. You know, sometimes you think to yourself, well, you know, I'm going to do okay. But let me tell you what, we fail. We fail because we don't want to make corrections. But we need to make corrections, don't we? We need to give our fullest potential to what God would have us to do and live our life accordingly. I want to give you some things this morning that maybe will help you just a little bit in closing out this message. Number one, verse 8 said this. Go back to it. Go to the mountain and bring down the wood and all these good things and build. In other words, number one, we are to be active. Number one, we are to be active in the right things according to verse 8. Building the foundation on Christ. That's the first thing that you need to do. He said there's a time to talk, a time to act, a time to consider, a time to do things. Those who put first things first, my friends, are up and doing the right thing at all times. And that's spending time with God daily. Doing the right thing he talks about. Active in the right thing. The second thing is this, speaking that truth, you know. God is glorified in what we do. God is glorified in what we do. And building that life with Him. So how do you relate that right now? Well, let me tell you what I put down here. Why should the temple be built? Well, that God may be glorified. When God is not first, we are what? Indifferent to His glory, His fame it talks about, and to His reputation when you don't glorify Him. In other words, you're putting Him down here. You're putting Him down here. And He needs to be uplifted here daily. So first of all, we look at it. We are actively to do the right thing. Second of all, we remember to glorify Him. The third thing here is this. When we do right, God blesses us. Now I want you to look at verse 13 with me, please. In this text and what he said. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. He said unto the people, saying, look what he said. Four words. I am with you. You see that? After all that Haggai said, all that Haggai did, all that Haggai proclaimed to them, that they were not doing the right thing and all that, he said this very plainly. He said, and I am with you. God said that. God is always with us. He's always watching over us. He should be first. He blesses us. And let me tell you what. We should not let the snares of the world capture us, but we should let the love of Jesus Christ be manifested in us and to remember that we are to be active in the right things of God. To remember God blesses us for what we do. He's glorified in what we do. And His life should give us the fullness of everything that we do to serve Him today. And the nation of Israel, time after time after time, had the same old scenario. Live for God today. Live for myself tomorrow. How easy it was to fall off the wagon into the cesspool of the world. And you and I are no different. How easy it is to slip into the world around us, up to our neck in trouble, because we do not focus on the one who has given us an abundant life. That's God. What is Haggai's message, or really what is God's message this morning? Well, let me conclude it this way. If you're not living a God-first lifestyle, then begin to examine yourself today. If you're not living a God-centered lifestyle, examine yourself today, number one. And last of all, I want to leave you with this. Let God reveal to you where you stand with Him. Let God reveal to you where you stand with Him. And I'll guarantee you one thing. When He starts revealing it to you, guess what? You'll be ashamed of where you are. As a Christian, you'll want to make changes in the life that you live. I told you last week as I was talking about writing down things to do for the Lord this year, you know, and I know some of you didn't. I saw your paper in the pew. You think you're better than everybody else. I'm telling you what, you need to talk to God. You need to take that blank sheet of paper I gave, told you to take home, that you should take and write on the bottom of it your name and let God fill it in and see what God has for you. Evaluate yourself and see what God tells you, and you'll find out one thing. You're not all that you say that you are. And you need improvement, just like I do in my life every day. And I can improve just like all of you. Because sometimes I have a tendency to want to put Christ back here too. But let me tell you what. When I do, trouble lies ahead. My friends, let Him be the controller of your life. And you'll find out your life will be a whole lot better if it's Christ-centered today.